We're going next to South Dakota, which has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. And even there, it is tough for new college graduates to find a dream job. In the next part of our series on new graduates, setting out, Charles Michael Ray of South Dakota Public Broadcasting profiles an Air Force veteran who feels stuck in first gear.
Christopher Self just turned the key on a semi-truck, as he does at the start of every shift.
Usual start time is anywhere between midnight and about 4 a.m.
Self has spent the last 6 years working long days as a truck driver. But this is not his career choice. It's a fallback job. Self hoped it would be a stepping stone towards something better. Since he was a little kid, he's always wanted to be in business.
I had my first business about 4 years old, running a flea market in my grandma's front yard selling her stuff. Low overhead cost, you know.
He's on his way to achieving his childhood dream. Self recently completed a degree in business administration at the for-profit National American University here in Rapid City. He's a 28-year-old Air Force veteran. He worked his way through college in just under 4 years with this truck driving job and with help from the military. So with no student debt, he's in better condition than most graduates. But Self is still struggling to find work in his new field.
The military helped me out with this degree, so essentially the money's coming from taxpayers and everything. I really don't want to let it go to waste. This isn't my ultimate career. I want to be more in the corporate setting.
Since graduating in March, Self has applied for about 75 jobs, and he's had 75 rejections.
I have the degree, and I can't do anything with it yet because the opportunity's just not sure if it's there. And so, yeah, I've finally reached the point where I'm really questioning.
Self is doing his best not to let it get him down, but it's hard when the perfect opportunity passes him by.
There was one for a very large firm that would be my ultimate dream job. I applied to it Thursday, I believe. Monday morning, before 8 a.m., I already had the rejection letter. And that one was the biggest crush.
Usually a job search is demeaning anyway, because you are going to face some rejection. I mean, it's a pretty rare person that goes out and gets a job offer their first interview.
Peggy Schlechter's job is to help students like Self find work. She is Dean of Students at National American University. She says it's imperative for graduates to keep a positive outlook in this job market. But she recognizes this is easier said than done.
It is hard to stay up, I think, when you're looking at this economy and thinking, gosh, it might even be longer now before I find something. You know, boy, that really makes it tough.
Self's been struggling to keep a positive attitude lately, but he says he's not looking for handouts, and he's resolved to do whatever it takes to land a job in this labor market.
And it's just a bigger hill to climb. Not a victim, not sitting on my laurels, just waiting for somebody to find it for me.
Self may need to keep this attitude for the long term. Economists say while the recession is turning around, it could still take years for the labor market to fully recover. The average job search time used to be 3 months. Now it's closer to a year. With this in mind, recent college graduates might have to get used to that fallback job. For NPR News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
And tomorrow in our series, a history major plans his escape.
Evading the real world for a little bit is not a bad idea, especially with the current economic climate. Law school is a great way to kill time.
That's tomorrow on Morning Edition.
Government officials are trying to get for-profit schools to take some responsibility for their students who default on their debts. NPR's Claudio Sanchez has this report.
The U.S. Education Department is targeting for-profit schools because the amount of federal aid for students at these schools has exploded in the last few years. It's about $27 billion. And even though only 7% of all college students attend for-profit schools, they represent almost half of the students who default on their loans. So here's what the Education Department is proposing. If in 10 years a graduate from a for-profit school cannot repay what he borrowed with 8% of his starting salary, the school he attended would be banned from the federal student loan program. Harris Miller, president of the Career College Association, says that would slam the door on low-income students and working adults.
The default rate on the loans of students who attend our schools is about the same as it is for students who attend community colleges, and minority-serving institutions.
Miller says the average default rate at for-profit schools today is no more than 8 to 9%. The Department of Education emailed NPR this statement, quote, "We don't want people saddled with debts they cannot pay or degrees and credentials that are of little value," end of quote. The regulations will be available for public comment next week. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.
Now we go to another big tourist destination, Hawaii. It has wonderful beaches, but some young people who live there feel the state does not have much in the way of career opportunities. As part of our series on new graduates setting out, Ben Marcus of Hawaii Public Radio reports on a Hawaiian who's hoping for better prospects on the mainland.
At the University of Hawaii commencement ceremony, graduates were separated and lined up by college. Ryan Cam remembers making an observation to his fellow liberal arts grads.
So yeah, when we were in line, we saw, you notice the different colleges, and then you see like the people that are a really short line for the College of Engineering. Those are the people with jobs, and people in our line, people without jobs.
He was simply stating what everyone around him was probably thinking. 22-year-old Ryan says his work experience likely won't help much either.
I mean, I have like a background in retail, which is an equally useless skill because it obviously doesn't take much to ring up a cash register, you know?
Also, there isn't the kind of diversity of jobs here you'd see on the mainland. Tourism dominates, and it offers few opportunities or upward mobility, especially for history majors. So the lifelong Hawaii resident has set his sights on a city a world away, New York. Over his shoulder, a subway map is pinned to the wall of his Waikiki apartment, a souvenir from a semester he spent at Queens College.
Oh, I think you start to really fall in love with the city, this, you know, the more time you spend there.
For Ryan, the allure of New York City's culture and history exceeds any job opportunities the city may offer. Oh, and his girlfriend lives there. Surprisingly, none of this worries his parents. The Cam family gathered one Saturday evening for pizza at their home in Kailua, a sleepy beach town 20 minutes outside of Waikiki. Ryan's dad, Frank, who's a musician, says he's not concerned about his son's future. Exactly the opposite.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited because I want to see what happens because, like I said, he's the kind of guy that can make things happen.
In between bites, his mom, Diane, who's a massage therapist, adds that Ryan has always been a meticulous planner. She calls his move to New York a fantasy, and she means that in a good way.
Planning ahead, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go, and you're like, yes, go for it, go, son, go, you know? Do all the things that, of course, we dreamed of when we were kids but never carried out. I always had that aspiration.
Diane joined the Navy out of college because she couldn't find a job with her business administration degree. While stationed at Pearl Harbor, she met Ryan's dad, who had a gig playing his guitar at the base, and she never left. Diane labels her family solidly middle class. Ryan's grandmother helped him pay for college, leaving him with no student debt. Not too long ago, Ryan told his mother something that hit her hard.
He said he wants to be in a better position when he's our age than we are. So that's like every parent wants their child to do better than they did. Every generation has gotten better. And so now we're at that point where this generation, they don't know if they're actually going to be able to do better than the parents did because of our economy.
In fact, economists say this is possibly the worst job market for college graduates since World War II. That doesn't deter Ryan. He still plans to leave for New York in August. He'll try to work for a year, put money away, and apply for law school.
As far as I'm concerned, evading the real world for a little bit is not a bad idea, especially with the current economic climate. Law school is a great way to kill time.
He hasn't had any bites on the resumes he sent out so far. He's not picky. He's open to working almost anything until law school. For NPR News, I'm Ben Marcus in Honolulu.
Tomorrow, as our series continues, we'll meet one of the lucky ones, though his success did require a change of plans.
I wanted to work for Lehman Brothers, but then, you know, that kind of didn't happen.
So we'll find out what he did tomorrow on Morning Edition. This week, the oil spread a little bit farther and touched more American lives, including the owner of P&J Oysters in New Orleans. He spoke with NPR's Tamara Keith.
It was 7:30 in the morning. That's when Mitch Jurisich first spotted oil floating on the water above his oyster beds. It was just yards away from where his grandparents first settled after immigrating from Croatia almost a century ago.
This is the last of our areas that we had open for my family to harvest oysters. We were fortunate enough to have one little slice of pie left that we were still farming from, and that slice of pie now is gone.
Jurisich had hoped somehow The oyster beds his family has leased and farmed for so many years would be spared. Maybe his grandmother was watching over them.
Everything we've worked so hard all our life to build could be done for, you know, and it's not the way we like to think, but when you start seeing it, you know reality's here now, you know.
Jurisic has the deep, dark tan that comes from a lifetime on the water and knows every inch of Bayou Lachute.
Sad part is all my life I've been out here, so I never wanted to do anything else. And, you know, I'm not a welder. I'm not nothing. I'm an oysterman, you know. But
tell me what we're saying.
We're looking at all red-looking, fudgy oil, and it's disgusting.
As soon as Jurisic saw the oil, he got on his cell phone. His first call, wildlife officials, who quickly closed the area to fishing, making official what he already knew. Then he called his friend Al Sunseri, the president of P&J Oysters.
I said, it's over. And he's like, what? And I said, it's over. I said, I found all. He's out of oysters now. You know, it's sad. It's really sad, you know, and we're men, but, you know, you could tell on the inside there was a part of Al that was, you know, wanting to shed a tear. There's a part of me wants to shed a tear.
The other six or seven oystermen Sunseri normally buys from had already been shut down by the spill. Jurisic was his only source left.
I was planning to get product from him, so that just cuts off just the last bit of the group that we're able to get our oysters from.
Sunseri is in his office in the French Quarter, and he seems to be on the phone constantly.
Hey, Slim, how you doing this morning? What's nothing too much? Well, we're shucking our last day today, and we don't have any prospects to get anything else in to shuck.
About a dozen workers, almost all women, stand up on platforms splitting open the last of Mitch Jurisic's oysters with a hammer and a knife. They pull out the meat and drop the shells on the ground below. Sunseri has told them this is probably their last day. Maybe just for a while. Maybe forever.
This could mean the demise of our 134-year-old business if we have to be off 18 to 24 months.
For 42-year-old Wayne Gordon, it's the end of the only job he's ever known. Sunseri's father hired him fresh out of high school.
It's all we know. This is what it is. This is who we are.
This industry survived Hurricane Katrina and all the storms that came before her. But this man-made disaster could be more than these generations-old businesses can handle. Tamara Keith, NPR News, New Orleans.